Maturity and growth. Maturity and growth is what we got to have. We cannot be the same people that we were last week and think we're growing. Even your sales change. They're always changing. If they're not getting better and reproducing, you're going. Brother Rich is determined that he was going to be with me, and I summoned Brother Rich, and he took the summons as if it was from God. And what I'm looking for right now is, while I teach today, I want you all to be in your mind, ask the Lord, help him say what you need him to say. It may not even be for you. It may be for someone else on the podcast. Maybe for someone on YouTube, Facebook. Then again, it could be for you, and it may be mostly for me. But knowing what I know that's in this passage, it's for every living person that has the favor of God in their life. Every living person that has the favor of God in their life. Now, is Jane back home, or is she in the hospital? We need to pray for Rich. He didn't ask for it. I don't know what's wrong with him. Rich got some conditions. He's telling me about some things going on with his legs. We're going to pray. I want you all to be in diligent prayer for that. You all be in diligent prayer that God takes Rich where he needs him to be. And I don't mean leaving our assembly. If that's what he wants them to do, to go do something, but I'm talking about this kind of taking. There's some things going on with Rich where it seems like the Lord's trying to move him. One of the things about God is he'll allow you to know something and won't let it happen right away. Told Abraham, you're going to have a son. God, it's been a lot of years. The only thing I got is this Eliezer. I know that. David, you anointed me king. It's been 5 years. I'm still running through the jungle. I know that. Peter, James, and John, especially James and John, you gave us power to heal and do all of this. And we know you all of that. No Samaritans, they don't even want to accept you. Let's just call fire down from heaven like Elijah did right there and kill him. Not yet. There'll be a time I call fire down, but not right now. It's not time. So, if you will. And I forgot to memorize this song you made. Oh my God, I was going to teach them to. Ann made a song this week. It was so good. And you know, with her modesty and all of that, she won't sing it to you all.
I told you I didn't remember it.
But I recorded it. It was good. It was good. So with that, let's go ahead and get ready to get started to go into God's word. Bring worship, you all. Like I said, while I teach, that he'll bless the message. I'm looking at you. Your husband not singing. I mean, you want to take up his slack?
Give me all in my lamp. Keep me burning.
Keep me burning.
Give me all in my lamp. I pray.
Keep me burning
to the break of day.
Sing, Hosanna,
sing,
Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Sing, Hosanna
to the King. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me praying. Give me praying to the break of of day. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna to the King.
Give me all in my lamp,
give me burning. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. Give me all in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing to the King of Kings. Merciful Father, Father of light, who dwells in eternity, who dwells in the light that no man can approach. You're the God that no man has seen nor can see. As I pray to you, be dominion, power, majesty, both now and ever. Look upon us. Look upon us as needy. Look upon us as those who need to walk in your goodness and need to be obedient to your word. Strengthen us with might in the inner man. Cause us to do your holy and your righteous will. Cause us to be the kind of people that you are looking for to execute your dominion judgment in the world. Father, there are needs in our society that are big. Women being kidnapped, missing. Children being stolen. Children being indoctrinated with lifestyles that are totally against your word. Churches, politicians, those in leadership positions, abusing power. Those that say they love you, not loving one another with a pure heart fervently. Father, we need you. Father, we ask you to look upon those that you have granted favor and teach us what it is and how it is and who it is that has the ability to praise you. Father, look upon Jane Merritt. Father, look at her illness, her illnesses, her sicknesses, and the very things that she's been bothered with. And I ask you by your holy and righteous power that you would allow our prayer to be energized to avail much in strengthening her body, strengthening her mind, strengthening her soul. And Lord, as you have shown through your apostle John, let her prosper in her health as her soul prospers. There is no need, Father, there is no great eternal need to prosper in my body or prosper in our body if our soul is not ready to be redeemed, if our soul is not ready to have a new body prepared for it. Therefore, I ask you to look upon her, look upon my mom. You know every situation. And we're trusting and we're pleading and we're holding on to you like Jacob held on to your son. We're not going to let you go till we're blessed. Father, we're not going to let you go until you're blessed. Even with my Aunt Ruby, we're not going to let you go. We ask you to touch, not only touch the bodies, but to heal the bodies, to make the souls the kind of souls that are warriors for you, that can pour down your fire from heaven, that can pour down your judgment on the wicked that will not repent, that can cause the hearts of the ungodly and the stalemated to come and bow the knee and come toward you, Father. We ask asking you to do these things, and we can say that we will hold on to you blessed, because you know what blessing we need irrespective of what we ask for. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to grab hold to the hem of your garment. Teach us how to grab on, and that we will get what we need so that we'll be empowered to do what you wanted us to do. You came to heal the sick. You came to heal men, the brokenhearted. You came to set the captive free. And then you sent your apostles. Therefore, Lord, that's our job. Our job is to set the captive free. Our job is to do what's necessary to heal the head, that from the head to the crown of the foot, soul, that all of it is sick and no soundness. Father, we ask you that not only will you set the captive free, that you will protect every child, Lord, that's fatherless. And Lord, that you will put to death those that are molesting and killing. You said it would be better that a millstone be hung on their neck and they'll be drowned in the sea. Lord, execute those that are raping, that are murdering, so that the land can be shed, as my granddaddy used to say, of innocent blood. The abortion doctors and the people, the nurses and things that go along with it and don't want to call it what it is. Lord, judge. See and judge. Execute your righteous judgment, Father. You are King. You are King Eternal. Lord, save the babies. Lord, help the widows. The widows are out like prey from the hyenas. Lord, God of heaven, I ask you by your power and your might that you do your thing in us. Bless every ear to hear the prayer that I pray. Bless everyone that ever listened to this message, whether it's on Podbean, Facebook, YouTube, or it's repeated by someone else. Let this message be the kind of message that somebody that don't have the tools that I have or the time to study that I have, that they can listen and hear your word and repeat your word that I have plagiarized through your Holy Scripture. Now I ask these things in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. For his sake and for the eternity of all of our souls. Amen, amen, and even so, amen. Come on in, brothers, grab a seat. Come on in, my sisters, have a seat. Bless God's everlasting name. That seat between the cherubim, you can find out for me. Today, as we go into God's eternal word, we're coming from the 106th Psalm. And what we're going to talk about is one thing in particular. What do you do when you have obtained favor from God? What do you do? Because you'll meet people and they say, how you doing? I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. What do you do when you have obtained favor from God? Our passage today starts with hallelujah in Psalm 106. When you see in Psalm 106, it says, praise ye the Lord. The Hebrew there is hallelujah. So the thing we're going to dwell with in looking, what do you do when you have favor? The first thing we have to understand when you have obtained favor from God is imperative. It's mandatory that you give him praise. Now, the real question that we're going to really dwell in today is, who is qualified to praise God? Who is qualified to praise God? Everybody can't praise him. There was one time the demons were going to praise him. And they said, we know who you are, thou son of God. And Jesus said, shut your mouth. Don't praise me. Everybody cannot praise God. What you can do, you can praise him by him judging you, executing his judgment. But God likes clean and holy vessels to be able to speak his word. Bless his everlasting name. Let's go to the scripture. You are ready to go to the scripture. You are ready to do some work. You are ready to taste and see how good the Lord is. Listen to this. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. For those of you all that just joined us today, when you see me, I'll say Yahweh when it has capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, because that's the Hebrew name. And so sometimes people leave what we call the true teaching of the church, because what ends up happening is they'll meet someone that's in the Jehovah's Witness or somebody, and God's real name is not Lord. I refuse to teach, and people don't know. So it says, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Did you get that? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Please understand what has just been said here. It is not to be debated. It is not to be questioned. It is not open to your interpretation. The Bible has spoken. Once the Bible has spoken, once the revealed word of God has spoken, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is the epitome of what is good. He is the what you call the template of what is good. And when you read in your scriptures, you'll find in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. I say it slowly so you can turn to it, because I need you to understand this man is giving praise to God. Here is a man that has obtained favor from God, and this man is going to teach, and he's going to show who it is that can say hallelujah, who it is that can give praise to God. Everybody should not open their mouth to say hallelujah. There are some wicked people in this world. So he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. It's a powerful scripture for you to hear. It's a powerful scripture for us to know. Listen to what the word of God say. Man came to Jesus, and he wanted to know, good master, why do you call me good? And so Jesus says in the 17th verse, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. If you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He says, which? And Jesus goes through and enumerates the commandments that the man is to keep. But since we're not talking about that today, I just want you to understand what it came down to is that Jesus is saying that he is good, because of the fact when he said there's none good but God, he is not saying that he's not good. He is saying that I'm good. If you want to enter into life, you got to recognize that I'm good. There is nothing else that you can look for as good. It's not going to be found in Buddha. It's not going to be found in Allah. It's not going to be found in the Pharisees. It's going to be found in me. There is none good but one. And he is allowing that individual to know that. So when you go back to this psalm where we are resting, where we are working today, and he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And you better understand, when you go through this passage today, you're going to see some things. It doesn't look like God is good, but he's already set the paradigm. Listen to this. For his mercy endureth forever. The God is so good that his mercy endureth forever. But I want you to see, as you go through this passage, you're going to see some qualifications. You're going to see how his mercy works, because when you obtain favor from God, please hear this, when you obtain favor from God, favor comes with responsibility. Do you hear this? The favor of God comes with responsibility. It doesn't just come with privilege. God doesn't put his favor on you for you to rule, for you to reign and do your thing. He's still king. He's still sovereign. He's still eternal. Let us go ahead and just offer up a quick prayer to the Lord. Lord, help us to understand you are good. No matter what happens in our life, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, even if we don't like what happens, you are good. You work all things together for the good of us to love you, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so it says his mercy endure forever. Verse 2, we change gears. Listen to this question. Who can utter the mighty acts of Yahweh? Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord and show forth all his praise? That's a question you should think about. You see, the children of Israel should be able to utter or proclaim the mighty acts of God. When you see that word mighty, it's speaking of miracles. They had seen God turn the water to blood in Egypt. Well, you say they didn't see, they knew about it. They knew about the frogs that God had sent to judge the frog god. They knew about all the lice that came on them and the hail and the thunder and the fire that burned up their crops. They knew about the darkness that came upon them. They knew that God had plundered the Egyptian, gave their gold to them, gave their silver to them, gave their linen to them, and killed the firstborn, the ones that were killing babies. Yes, I said it, babies, like America does, killing babies. And now they're passing laws that kill babies outside of the womb, and they've been doing it anyway, leaving them on the table when they don't die of abortion. It's wicked. I said it's wicked. I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. It's wicked. Not only do they do that, but they go into our schools and teach our children. That's the way it's to be. When my son went to college and I was sitting there at Georgia State and I heard them talk about that children can come to the clinic or to the doctor when they want to, I said, how my child going to do that without my permission? Because you want to take my children and move them away from God's goodness and proclaim a goodness that belongs to the state and the educational system. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Can you? Can you? Are you sure you can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Let's look and see. It says, who can show forth all of his praise? Children should be able to show forth his praise. But listen to the writer. He's going to tell us. Blessed are they that keep judgment. Blessed are they that keep God's righteous decrees, God's judgment on what is good. In order for you to say hallelujah, which is praise ye Yah, in order for you to bless or to praise his name, you got to understand that he is good. No matter what happens, you cannot proclaim his praise. You cannot proclaim his praise unless you agree with his judgments. Not only does he say blessed, in other words, you want to say you're blessed and highly favored? Say what he says. Now the society say you're not. If society say little boys can be little girls and little girls can be little boys and grown men can go in the women's bathroom, and if they bother you and do stuff like that and do pedophilia now, if they pass that bill, don't say anything about it, because when they do the TED Talks, they say that's a normal way of life and people struggle with that and it's okay, but they're doing it to somebody else's child. They're doing it to somebody else's child. God said through his holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, it's better that a millstone be tied on your neck and you be drowned in the sea. God is good. That's what he said. You say, let it slide. I say, God is good. His word is good. The Bible tells me in 119 Psalm, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Is that not up for debate with me? Is it up for debate with you, Rich? Don't look like it. So he says, blessed are they that keep his judgment and do it righteousness at all times. That's who can praise him. You can go to what you call church all day long, and they can have a praise and worship team, but if they're not keeping his judgments, if they're not doing righteousness, they're not qualified to give him his praise, not the praise he wants. Do you hear me? This is what the Bible said. I didn't make it up, and I'm not going to bite my tongue. Listen to what it says in verse 4. He says, remember me, oh Lord, with the favor that thou gavest unto thy people. Remember me, Yahweh, with the favor that you gave your people. He knows, he's letting you know, I know what favor is, and remember me with that, okay? Then he says, oh, visit me with thy salvation. The stanza, the way it is saying, remember me with your favor is salvation. Remember me with your favor is salvation. Got it? That's what he is saying. Then he says, why? That I may see the good of thy chosen. You chose Israel. You chose them to be your people, that I may see the good of your people. In the fourth chapter of Exodus, verse 22. I'm going to tell it to you. You can turn to it if you want to. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. God told Moses, you tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. Let my firstborn go, that my firstborn may come and serve me. Israel is my son. Israel is my one that is favored. Israel is not the other nation. I have chosen them out of the other nations to represent me in the land. Blessed is the everlasting name that sits between the cherubim. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, you get a repetition of what he says. Listen to what Moses tells the people that made it into the promised land, that did not stay and die with their parents in the wilderness. Listen to the word of God. He says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But listen, but because Yahweh loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, has he brought you out with a mighty hand, favor, and redeemed you, favor, out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know ye therefore that Yahweh thy God, he is a faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy and love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Let me read that again. He's faithful to those that keep his covenant and mercy, and he has love on them that keep his commandments to a thousand generations. This is what he's saying here. Let's go back to his testimony. His testimony is, who is it? Who is it that has the ability to show forth his praise? It's those that keep his judgment. It's those that do righteousness. And he says, remember me with the favor that you gave. Remember me with the favor that you gave your inheritance. You chose them. They did not choose you. You did it because not that they were righteous, not because they were doing this. It was the love that you had, but you keep mercy, that everlasting mercy. It's conditional. You better hear that. It says, I want to read it because people tell you it's not. I'm showing you what the Bible says. Know therefore, in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 7, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. You cannot tell me that's not a qualification. You cannot tell me that's a qualifier. You cannot tell me it's an exclusion to those that won't love him and won't keep his commandments. And we in this assembly know loving God is keeping his commandments. We know 1 John 5:3, it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Didn't it say it? 1 John 5:3, for those that might hear it on the podcast and say, he said it too fast. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. It's grievous to those that don't love him. Right. Bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. And notice, visit me with your salvation, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Do you see, he's going back and talking about a nation that had received favor. And he said, out of all those people, who is it that has the ability to show him praise? Who is it that can utter it? You say you're blessed and highly favored. This man is getting ready to talk about a people that were blessed above all people, that were highly favored above all people. But when I hear people talking about they're blessed and highly favored, and I watch how they live, and I watch how they act, ah, let's see if it lines up with the beautiful word of God. Listen to what he says in verse 6. He starts out, we have sinned. Wait a minute. What about the mercy? And the mercy that is given to those that love him and keep his commandments. This man, listen. This man said, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Listen to this, please, as I change my voice. In this assembly, we have sinned Every doggone one of us has sinned before. Every one of us has sinned before God. Our parents have sinned, and we have done wickedly. We must needs turn and come to God in the full heart and full assurance of our faith, having our hearts sprinkled with clear water. We must return unto the Lord. For if we don't return unto the Lord, we don't fit into the qualification. And if we have returned unto the Lord, what about our brothers, our sisters, our nieces, our nephews, our aunts, our cousins? Are you only going to be concerned about your doggone self? Are you really going to go against God like that? He said, pray. It wasn't asking. Pray that the Lord will send laborers into the harvest. He said, pray. How many times have you prayed that the Lord will send laborers into the harvest? Children, how many times do you even know what that means? He means pray that God will send somebody out there that will stand in the gap when the wall is broken, that somebody will stand out there and make sure that the people are guarded and protected and that they are saved from the enemies of God. Do we love the word of God? I do. Then he says, our fathers understood not our wonders in Egypt. Let's break this down and taste it. With all of this favor that they were chosen, they were given an inheritance. He said, listen, this is amazing. He said, who can tell of his mighty acts? And I talked about his miracles. I want people to hear this. The problem that people have in the modern day church is the problem that people have when God does favor them. He gave them miracles on top of miracles. He fed them the bread, the corn of heaven. He gave them sweet water when he threw a tree into the water. He gave them quail to eat when they ran their mouth. He saved them from Pharaoh when they were doing genocide on the children. And guess what they did? The Bible, with all of those miracles, said they understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They didn't understand what the miracles were for. They were excited about the miracles. And as long as he would do the miracles, they were happy. The miracles are not to make you happy. The miracles are to show you he's God. The miracles are to give you faith so you will trust his word. The miracles are to bring you into the inauguration that the man that he has set before you is giving God's word. There comes a time that God's not just doing the miracles. That's why he said, they understood not thy wonders. The whole time Moses was teaching, hear the word of the Lord. And all those miracles that he had, when you get to Exodus chapter 20, Moses goes up to the mountain and he gives him his law, his instructions for living. Because man shall not live, Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, God said, I tested you in the wilderness to see what you would do, to let you know that man does not live by bread only. I need you to understand, saints, if God gave you a miracle today or tomorrow and you don't understand, and it's a sign pointing to something, you're going to be like these people. Do you understand the Gospel of John? We call it John, the fourth book in what we call the New Testament. It said Jesus did this miracle as a sign, as a Simeon, as a sign, as a sign. And guess what? All of the signs that he did, more than Moses, calm the sea, raise the dead more than once, cleanse the leper, made the blind eyes see. But when it came time for trial, when it came time for them to stand for him, they said, we have no king but Caesar. What good did the miracles do? You looking for a miracle? You expecting the impossible? You want to feel the intangible? You want to see the invisible? You want to talk about the sky is the limit to all you can have? Let's see a heart change. Let's see a husband get back with his wife. Let's see children come back to God. Let's see us turn this government from killing babies in the womb and killing them outside of the womb and killing black babies just like we are the plague and the scourge of the earth. Sometimes people may wonder, Tim, why do you go into the ethnic group? Why do you go into what is black? Let me tell you why. I want to tell you why so you can understand. Me is what they call by the misnomer a black man. There's always a program set up to help the black man. NAACP, SCLC, TTTT, whatever kind of acronym you can come up with. Federal government, Democrat Party, Republican Party, this kind of party, this kind of activist group. Every time you turn around, is somebody going to do something for black people? Listen to me. Most of the time when you look at these people's platform, they don't love the God that is good. They won't let me talk about his son, Yeshua, Jesus. Why is it then that we, as a people that have been beat down, the sons and daughters of slaves, why is it that we don't call on God? Why is it that we don't address our own problems and address them the way that he addressed them for the children of Israel through God? That's why I do it, because I don't want the people that hear me to feel like I got to go join Black Lives Matter or I got to go join Antifa. You don't have to join anything but the word of God. The word of God, it'll build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Bless his mighty name. And these people say, our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. Many people don't understand God's miracles today, and you're still looking for them, but you're not looking for him to heal the broken heart. You're not looking for him to heal you and to cleanse you and to break you down so you'll quit fornicating. Giving yourself to somebody else and somebody worthwhile might would take you, but you laying up. Leaving you women stuck with the babies. You the one that have to get up in the night when they say, I can't breathe. Where's daddy? When it's time to go register for school, where is daddy? Where? Now, if he's working, that's one thing. But you're talking about many times in our community, they did things with what they call the New Deal. They did things under Lyndon Baines Johnson to pay our young black women to have children, and they would support the children and make the black man irrelevant. Had we stuck with God, had we been in his word, we wouldn't have took it. We would have stayed with our family. We wouldn't have been fornicating, dropping babies everywhere, and weakening our own nation. When he said, our fathers understood not our wonders in Egypt, then he says, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. 10 times, I would say for the first 9 times, they went against Yahweh God, and he was merciful. He said they didn't understand his mercies. They provoked him at the sea. Even the Red Sea, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Now, that's out of sequence when I talk about the 9 times, or if you know the scriptures, but I'm able to go and say what they ended up doing. But they were provoking him because they were having stuff to say with Moses, even when they got to the sea. You brought us out here to kill us, Moses. We gonna die. We gonna live us in Egypt. Moses had to say, shut your mouth. Just stand still. And I'm going to raise this rod up. Now, he didn't tell him this, but he raised that rod up because that's where his power was going to come from, God. Raise the rod up, stretch his hand over the sea. Now, some say he stretched the rod out over the sea. When I read it, it says he raised his rod out and stretched his hand over the sea. Either way, to me, the real emphasis is that the power is coming from God. Moses can't open the Red Sea. Moses can't stop Pharaoh and kill Pharaoh. This is why we need to learn to pray. You can't open the Red Sea, and you can't stop what's going on in your family members' lives. You can't stop what's going on in your government. I don't care how many guns you have. I don't care if you can make bombs. You can't stop the devil. You can't stop wickedness. You can stand in the gap, but if the Lord is not fighting for you, you know you're going to lose that battle. You're going to lose it. God told Joshua, and God made him the hump captain. I'm captain of the Lord's host. And then the sweeted word of God showed when God was talking and they were running their mouth at the Red Sea. Moses said, stand still. Battle is the Lord's. Let me tell you how much joy it is to give the battle to the Lord. You can quit complaining. The battle is the Lord. You can quit complaining. You got people in your family that's practicing homosexuality. You got people in your family that's living what they call shacking, laying up, committing whoredom. You got people in your family that don't pay their bills and don't pay you back when they owe you. You got all kind of mess going on in your family. Give the battle to God. Give it to him. Teach the truth. Speak the truth. But don't let it disturb your peace. Mm-mm. The Bible said, whatsoever things are good, honest, and just, and of lovely, of good report, if any virtue, any praise be, if you give, if you think on these things. But if you go to Philippians 4 and 6, he tells you this, be anxious, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind. I'm learning that, because I try to fix you now. I'll try to fix you. I'll try to save you. I'll try to get me a wrench and, you know, a couple pair of pliers and fix you. I'll try to get a saw and some nails, and I'll try to fix you. And all I'm going to do is make you mad. But when the Lord decides, I want to take this plank out of your life, I want to take this bad piece of lumber out and put another piece in, he knows how to do it. Amen? My mom used to sing a song, oh, yes, he knows just what I need. Let's go back to the sweet word of God. Verse 8, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Do you see that? When they say his mercy is everlasting, in spite of all of the wicked, despite all of the forgetting him, it says, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Do you understand that God's favor showed that he loved us first? Because he loved us. I want you to see that in the Bible. Are you all willing to go there? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. This is what the young man is asking for, the old man, either one. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Is that favor? We love him because he first loved us. Who can declare that? That only the person that knows that he's good. Only the person that knows that his decrees are good. Only the person that can understand when things have gone wrong is us and not him. And so he said, I want that favor that you gave them, okay? They turn. He said, but he still loved them. Listen to 1 John, not 1 John. There is no 1 John 15. So it has to be John 15, verse 16. Listen how God's favor worked in our lives. Jesus told his apostles, disciples, and it will be the same for us. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask, listen, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. Is that favor? This is the favor of God that he wants. That God, you chose me. You chose Tim Merritt. You chose Seeking Truth. You chose people in other assemblies that are serious about you, that they may bring forth fruit. You have appointed them. You have ordained them to bring fruit. And that way you can ask my Father, because it's his battle. Father, we need a couple of tanks over here. Father, we need a couple of missiles over here. Father, we need reconnaissance over here. Whatever it is, Father, we don't know what we need right now. Father, assess the situation and let one of us know. And then do it. Do it. Do it. It says that you would go and pray for fruit and your fruit remain. That means it's got to continually be nurtured. And this is what he has done. This is the kind of love. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Israel didn't choose him, but Israel's job was to go and teach the other nations. It was actually to bring God's judgment on the widows, the orphans, and those that were afflicted in the things that had been done against God on the other nations. God was using Israel as what you would call the police or the military enforcer. But they weren't to go hurt everybody. They were to deal with justice in the land and then bring the people to the working knowledge so that they could obtain the favor of Yah or God, so that they could also learn how that they could utter his praises through the acts which he had done through them, changing them from giving their babies and burning them to Molech, taking their daughters and sons and raping them and having sex to their gods because they had homosexual priests and they had homosexual worshipers. They called them dogs. They were called Kodeshim. That meant they were holy. They had their own, see, holy means to be set apart. The idol gods had their form of holiness. And so you look, and when you see the Sodomites, Look it up. You'll see Kodeshim. They did the same thing with the women. You see it in the New Testament as well. Well, people say they don't do that. Now, go and try to get certain jobs in certain places in the entertainment field and see if you won't have to participate in the ritual. Well, there's so much for them right now. So let's go to verse number 8 and 9 together. Nevertheless, he saved them. You know what? I was going to leave out one. I don't want to leave it out. I want to go to Titus 3:3-6. If the time going a little short, I'll speed up on something else. I just want to show that God grants his favor first, and there's a reason. Titus 3:3-6 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, weren't we? Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. What I'm saying here is that his love, that favor that he gave on the children of Israel, because a lot of people don't realize that the children of Israel, they had got into dirt. They don't realize that the children of Israel had started serving other gods. But when you read the book of Joshua, you'll see. And God gave them favor to make them a blessing. This man is asking for the favor that he gave them, but he said the one that can give his praise are the ones that know his judgment, are the ones that know what his miracles were for, is the one that actually does righteousness and not just run his mouth. Verse 8, nevertheless, he saved him for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. You think you would save so you won't go to hell? That's a hellish thought. You weren't saved for that reason. You were saved by God for a purpose to make his power known in the earth. And then he says, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hands of them that hated them. And he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Favor. Aren't we oppressed now? Do you not think we're oppressed? Let me keep reading, I'll show you. It says, and the water covered their enemies, and not one of them were left. Listen to this. Then they believed his words, and they sang his praise. Everybody now has the ability, because they've seen a miracle, they've seen a deliverance, they were able to walk on dry land, just like in Genesis when God separated the water from the dry land and let the dry land appear. He separated the water and let the dry land appear, and they walked across on the Red Sea. According to 1 Corinthians, I believe it's the Egyptians, chapter 10 if you want to know, the Egyptians are saying to do so were drowned. They were drowned. For those that are not biblically literate, that old timey song that don't know what it's talking about, when they say, Mary, don't you weep, Martha, don't you moan, because Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. I don't know when or how in the world you get Mary and Martha in the New Testament and Pharaoh in the Red Sea, but just for the sake of saying it, Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. You got a God. He said, I want that kind of favor, that you'll fight for me. I beg of you for that kind of favor, that my enemies can't stand before me, that I get to see your power. I get to say he did it for me. Glory to his everlasting name. But verse 13 changes. You see, favor from God, it demands remembering. It demands gratitude and loyal fidelity. If you want to try to write all these down, I'm going to just go through and show you some of these as we go. It's too many. I couldn't think about all the goodness that God had. That was just, you know, when you scratch and you still itch. You know, it's like an inside scratch, like on the inside of your ear. It's like, you know, I'm scratching, but it's still itching. But listen to what he says. They sung his praise. They soon forgot his works. See that? Do you see it? They can't give praise when you forget his works. All those miracles, they forget his works. They waited not for his counsel. You can't give praise to God if you won't listen to his decree, his counsel. You forget what he's done. How dare you? Just because you can sing a song, that don't mean you're giving him praise. The only one that can utter that are those that keep his commandments and keep his judgments and do righteously. They forget his praise, his works. They waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. They didn't think he was good, Rich, because they tempting. They thinking it's something going on. And so therefore, guess what? It says they lusted exceedingly as if God was not good, didn't give them what they need. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Do you see that? With faithfulness, it comes responsibility, and there's an obligation. So now he wants, this is how smart this man is. This man is so smart. He wants the favor of God, yet he knows that God will send leanness to the soul of the ungrateful. I don't hear people giving that kind of praise. Do you see what I'm saying? This is something most people would never thank God for. It says, they tempted, he gave them leanness. He is saying, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise ye God. You are good. Sing praises to his name. I am praising him by him executing his righteous judgment. For he had already taught the people that he is righteous. He is God. And by the time he is writing, he knew and he learned, because during that same time, when they came out, God told them his words. And you see in Leviticus chapter 26, you see in Deuteronomy, is a recapitulation. Don't use that one. But he tells them, if you turn against me, I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to bring my judgment on you. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm faithful. I'm merciful. But I keep judgment. This man says the only one that really can utter his praise are those that keep judgment. He's keeping judgment. Most people wouldn't thank God for this. Notice again, he gave them their request. 15, but he said, leanness to their soul. They envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of Yahweh. And the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company and the flame burnt up the wicked. Now I would turn heavy to turn to that, but I realize it'll take a longer period of time than I want to take. But I know Numbers chapter 16, if you write Numbers chapter 16 and you read it, it'll make you feel good about God. Here are some men that didn't like the order of God. They didn't like that God's favor demands order. They didn't like the fact that God's favor has a differing function for each individual, and some individuals are in the position of leadership and some are in the position to help the leader. They did not like that God had set that up with all of that favor. They thought that their favor gave them the right to execute and change God's plan and put themselves equal to Moses. They didn't like the fact that God had determined, you will listen to the one that I give my word to, and when he gives my word, it's my word coming through him. They didn't understand it when God gave man dominion over the earth, that he meant for man to exercise dominion over the earth with him. They didn't understand that when God was allowing Moses to speak his word, Moses was executing his judgment as a man on the earth. Therefore, they were working with Satan against God. They didn't understand God's favor. They didn't understand the responsibility. They didn't understand the order. They didn't understand that when a man is really giving you God's word, it's not just me. And they say, Moses, you and Aaron, you take too doggone much against yourself. We are priests. We are the people of God just as well. We got as much favor as you. Yeah, you got as much favor insofar as being delivered and being saved, but you don't get to draw it as nigh as Moses did. Moses is the one that's giving you my word so that you can do your function. And they tried to take Moses' place, and they came out there with their mouth. God said, Moses, first of all, Moses fell on his face because the battle was the Lord's. Moses and Aaron fell on their face and they prayed. And can you imagine God? I know this is a pitiful God right here, what I'm getting ready to show you, but you know how some young girl said, no, he didn't. no, they didn't. Come here. Come before me now. Now, come here. Bring your senses tomorrow. That's what Moses told him. Tell him, that's it. Bring them tomorrow. They brought their senses. They brought all this stuff. Bring your rods. Every one of them had a rod. And whichever one of these rods blossomed, these dead sticks, whichever one has a stick, a piece of wood, a rod, a dead stick, you bring it tomorrow, and whichever one stick bring life from the dead, that's which one is who I want. Brought their rods. Uh-oh. The next morrow, that's how King James talked. The next morrow, Aaron's rod budded, and it had almonds on it. Those men, they took the censers from those men, and God did this. He opened up the earth, and the fire got been closed, and the Bible said you couldn't see where it was. Because favor has responsibility. Favor, being highly favored, ain't no joke. It ain't something you don't walk around, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored. Favor has a responsibility. Favor has a responsibility if you're a police officer, if you're a father, if you're a mother, if you're an elder brother, if you're a school teacher, if you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, if you're a husband, if you're a son. Favor gives responsibility because it puts you in the function. They were in the function of being priesthood to the world. And God had blessed them. And this man is asking, Lord, remember me with the favor you gave them. Yet I know you opened the earth and swallowed up and sent some people to Sheol, to hell. Because I know you're righteous. Because I know you are right. You're still worthy to be praised. Because that man's presupposition, that man's first assumption is God is what, saints? Good. Let's read some more. Then it says in verse 19, they made a calf. That means they made a calf that they worship. They made a calf in Horeb and worship the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They were supposed to be God's agent of salvation and deliverance to the nations, and they changed it to a four-footed beast. It says, thus they changed the glory. People take God's favor and exchange it for whatever they think will get them out of whatever situation it's in, whether it's a woman whoring out, whether it's a man whoring out nowadays, stealing, lying, or whatever. If you have God's favor, it demands a tight responsibility. Then notice what it says. They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. They forgot God that had done all those miracles. What good was God's favor to a people like that? He first loved them. And this man is asking for that kind of favor. This is the kind of man that knows how to praise God. He knows how to praise God. A lot of times we don't know how to praise God. A man go out here and slaughter somebody and they give him the death sentence and you don't know how to praise God. You see, the land is filled with blood in America, and we don't want the blood to be shed of those that shed it, because we're not in line with God. We don't know. We don't keep his judgment. Listen to what he says in verse 22. Wondrous. There we go again. Wondrous. We're talking about miracles. When you see that, usually it's miracles, okay? Wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before them in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Do you know the one of the most beautiful things about that is that Moses stood in the breach where God was getting ready to destroy these people, and God listened. See, this man knew that they were worthy of death, but he said his mercy endured forever. And so there was only so many of them that died instead of all of them. Moses stood in the gap. Now, we spent a lot of time about Moses being in the breach, in the gap on Thursday. Didn't we do it? So let's not spend as much time today on it. But I will take you to Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1. I want you to see it. I want you to taste it. Because I don't want you to forget. The Bible is full of men that will do that. Where are we now? Lord, help us. Help us in this assembly. Help every one of us to be one that will stand in the breach so that folk don't be destroyed, especially our families, especially those that listen to our ministry. They take time to listen to us, Lord. Bless them and keep them and wrap them in your protection, King Eternal. Listen to what it says. You should have been able to get to it by now. 13:1 Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is not just words. This is the person. The Targum would call it the Memra. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. This is what's wrong with people now. You keep listening to people telling you your best day yet. You keep listening to people that say, I got a word. You keep listening to people, you know they cheating on their wife. You know they got boyfriends. You keep listening to people that tell you they don't have to obey the King of Heaven. You keep listening to these people to be your preachers. You keep listening to people that tell you you can live any kind of way you want to and that God won't judge you because you are blessed and highly favored. God told Ezekiel, prophesy against those fools. They telling you lies. They willing to kill you. He says, you tell them, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Every time you turn around, somebody in the spirit tell me, I'm in the spirit. And then they go, oh, let bobo go, bobo go, baba go, boo, 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 go, bam, bam, bam. You're going to let somebody speak to you in a tongue, no interpreter, when the word of God is spoken on that. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words that can be understood than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, 1 Corinthians 14, 21 through 23, tongues are for a sign for them that don't believe. For us to believe, we need the butt-naked word of God without chaser, plain speech that can be easily understood. Bless his mighty name forever. I said it. Then it says, he called them foolish prophets. They follow their own spirit. God's told me. God has told me. You let people shake you what God has told you. You don't know the word of God. Folk will lie in the name of God. Then he says, oh, Israel, thy prophets are like foxes in the desert. Now listen. Listen to the indictment. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of Yahweh. When you all listen to false prophets and you listen to prosperity pimps that teach you against God, when I say it, when they tell you that they got the prosperity message and you're supposed to have all this, that's a damnable lie. That's a God damnable lie before the King of Heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 6 will teach you that men that are novices will teach you that gain is God. They will teach you, it said, from such turn away. That's what the Bible says. Get away from them. He said they're foolish. They're unlearned. It is certain that you brought nothing into this world. It is certain that you are carrying nothing out, having food and raiment. There will be content. No, Lord. I got to have mine. I got to have stacks on debt, God. I mean, you know, Lord, you know who have the most toys when they die. They the winner. Wait a minute, you dead. God of Jesus. Ezekiel speaks the same kind of thing a little further on in chapter 22, verse 28. Now, the point of the 13th chapter, while I'm letting you all turn to Ezekiel 22 and 28, is false prophets. They don't hold up. They don't protect you. They leave gaps so that the foxes can come and destroy you. This is the problem, and this is what God said Moses did. And the man is finding praise that God allowed, even when the time they should have been destroyed, somebody to intercede. Listen to what it says here. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, or the sovereign God, when Yahweh has not spoken. Please understand what this means. It said they divining. They really may be hearing a supernatural spirit. Divination is supernatural. Eve heard a supernatural being. Eve heard it. So did King Ahab, through the mouth of all of those prophets, a supernatural being. A supernatural being came to Saul. And guess what? When Peter told Jesus, oh, you ain't got to go to that cross. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. before Judas denied the Lord's Christ, the Bible says Satan entered him. I'm trying to let you know, when people say the Spirit told them, which one? Which one? When people say, God told me, which God? There are God's many and Lord's many, but those of us that love God, we only got one, and one Lord Christ. So he says, listen, this is really good right here. Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken, verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongly. Now listen to verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Is that what we are seeking, truth? Can we stand in the gap? Can we stand in the hedge? If all you can do is run your mouth, if all I can do is quote scriptures, and that's a beautiful thing. Don't get me wrong. But if the battle is going to be God's, I got to ask him. I got to ask him to fight. I can't mend broken hearts. I can't put families back together. I can give you God's righteous decree, but it's God that has to turn the heart. It's God that has to turn the hearts of prejudice. It's God that has to break down and stop legislation. We do what we do and be faithful, but it's on the Lord. All he told the children of Israel to do, you start walking. Moses stretched out his hand. You start doing what you do, and I do mine, and the land open. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Gideon, go up. Gideon, it's only 300 of you. Take those lanterns. Go up there. And when I say it, break the lantern and say, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. That's all you do. But you got to do something. You got to do your part. And I made them kill themselves. What a mighty God we got access to. Oh, God, don't let us be stupid no more. And every time we start to be, change our mind. Our families are going to hell. We have people just like they divorced while they're together. We have families that are apart and separated in their own house that's not in divorce. We get to the place that the thorns and the thistles are going to choke out the word, and we're going to forget God. We're going to forget, Lord, don't let us forget you. Don't let us forget and be choked and bring no fruit to repentance, bring no fruit to fruition, and we won't be able to stand in the head. But nobody will be just one of those that think we're saved and I die, I'm good. Oh, it's going to be a bad thing. Let's go back to our text so I can finish for you all. And it says in verse 24, 106 Psalm, yea, they despise the pleasant land and believe not the word. You don't like God's place that he gave you. You despise the word because I told you to go in and fight. You thought you had to do it all yourself. You think you got to go and heal all the broken hearts. You think you got to save everybody. No, it's on me. But you despise the pleasant land. You believe not his word. They murmured in the tent. They hearken not to the voice of the Lord. Listen to what he did. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed among the nations and to scatter them into land. Notice, he killed a lot of them in the wilderness. And he says, Lord, give me that favor. Give me the favor that you gave them. What he is probably saying, what I know he's saying, I won't mess up like that. Because I know you're good. But he's still praising. Can you utter praise to God when you know your relatives? Every one of those were his relatives. Everyone that's a Hebrew, they were their relatives. They were having kinfolk funeral almost every day for 38 years. And then notice after this, it says, he scattered them to the land, which is the thing that God had to do. And I need you all to understand something. They joined themselves to Baal Peor. and they ate the sacrifices of the dead. They joined in eating sacrifices to the dead. They joined in having meals with people, having sexual relations. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 21 through 23 will let you know. 1 Corinthians 10, 21 through 23 will let you know you can't take of the Lord's table and the tables of devils. And that's New Testament. And it said, do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Or are you stronger than he? In the words of James Brown, that wicked, ungodly man, don't make God say, try me. Don't make him say it. Verse 29, they provoked him to anger with their inventions. They came up with new ways to serve God. You know, like they got the Catholic Pope kissing this Muslim man, and they've had other such things like that. You'll see it if you watch the video. A woman rides the beast. You have the shamans there, and you have all these other kind of snake charmers and all of this, and they all on one stage doing worship. That's an invention. God ain't ever told you to worship. He said you don't know what the God before me. Bless his mighty name. And he said you will have no graven image. And folk might not like, but there are a lot of graven images that they do in the Catholic Church. And we have our graven images too. You got an Emmy. People do anything to get an Emmy, won't they? And a Grammy, won't they? Won't they? They'll do anything to get their thing on a certificate. Am I correct? We better get our mind right. Then the Bible says, it says, thus he provoked them to anger and a plague break out in among them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and the plague was stayed. I told you about that Thursday. And it says, and that was counted to him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. You would think that would be enough right there. But do you see all this is still praise? Who can utter his praise? Yes. Those that know his righteousness. Everybody can't utter his praise. It's only when you get a car or you get a job. Oh, I'm highly favored. Or you can go to church. But what about when God's getting that tail? When God is whipping you, when he is chasing you, when he's putting the rod on your back, when he's touched your finances, when he allowed your body to get sick so he can strike you so that you can be humble so he can heal you. That's a blessing. Don't you rather go into life having one eye plucked out figuratively speaking and go into hell with two, where the worm dies not? Preach to him, I will. Then verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. Here's the Moses, the man of God, got so upset that he said too much and he hit the rock. This man is showing you, I know what your favor is. I know what it means. I know what it means to have that responsibility. At the same time, I see that you didn't play with Moses, but I still want it. I want it. Do you want it, saints? Do you all want this kind of favor from God? Are you sure? Are you sure you want the responsibility? Because guess what? You've already been called. The favor is already on you. You can't reject the favor. Once God, you can't really reject it. It's already there. What you going to do with it? Now, somebody technically might be able to argue with me, and maybe I'll concede. But Israel couldn't reject it like that. Once they had said all that the Lord has said, will we do and be obedient? That was covenant time. Listen what it says in 33. Because they provoked Moses, his spirit, he spake unadvisedly with his lips. When you're in the favor of God, you have to watch your mouth. You have to watch your mouth. God is holy. And Moses had more favor functionally than they did. Moses had more privilege to get to go up and be with God and be able to go 40 days and 40 nights without food or water to see God face to face and be sustained by the word of his power by himself. And with that responsibility, that privilege, the responsibility was higher. They got to speak in ill-advised all the time. They got to do a whole lot of stuff. Not you, Moses. How close do you really want to draw nigh to God? Do you want to get close to you? You ever thought about, I would love to be God that should come to me like he did Moses in my face shine? Really? That's a lot of responsibility in that. Listen to the next one. Oh, and it's a heavy load. Because the closer you get to God and the more of his favor that he give you functionally, it's not for you primarily. It's for him to use you to the glory of his praise in the land. Verse 34, they did not destroy the nations. I want you to pay really close to this. Their job was to execute God's judgment on the nations. They did not destroy the nation concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. One day I'll do something about a snare and show you all a snare, not today. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to devils. They shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed unto the idols in Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. They also were defiled with their own works, and they went a-whoring with their own invention. Listen, this is important. Therefore was the wrath of Yahweh kindled against his people insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they hated them and ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they brought them into subjection under their hands. Now, what is all this saying? What this is saying is they did not execute God's judgment. They did not pour down the stronghold that we are supposed to do in our day. They had physical strongholds. They had physical gods. They had places that they worshiped. The physical gods, I'm talking about their idols. They didn't tear it down physically, so therefore they didn't tear it down mentally. They didn't tear it down in the minds of the people. They assimilated with the people. They partook in it. They learned their worship. Their children paid the ultimate price for it. The land became polluted. And listen, I want you to hear this, please. This is the word of God. It says they defiled by their own works, and because they hoard after the things of that life, God learned to despise those that he had given favor to. You think being blessed and highly favored make you exempt? It makes you more ready for the judgment of God. To whom much is given, much is what? Now listen to this. This is the part you need to feel. And God gave them to the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled. In America, we, as what you call the church, we, as what you call the people of God, we have assimilated, we have aborted, we have fornicated, we have lied, we have committed homosexuality. We have said, there is no one that can judge me. We have taken a little Baal, we have taken a little Islam, we've taken secularism, we've sent our kids to school and let them learn Marxism, socialism, hedonism, and we on our jobs have let our job determine who we are going to be. Let them make us and conform us to this world and not let us be transformed. We watch TV and they put images in our mind. We put wicked things in front of us and we love it. We find joy in it. We find joy in that God hates. It entertains us. We love it. We have turned against God, and now a wicked government rules over us. It oppresses us. It said our babies can be killed. All your child has to do is be seduced by a teacher to go to the abortion doctor, and they can kill your grandbaby. They can teach your child, the little boy, he shouldn't be a girl, he should be a girl. They can teach your little girl, she should be a boy, and they can start operating, and if you say something against it, you can end up losing your child or go to jail. They oppress the preachers. If you preach the word of God like it is, you stand in chance of going to jail. They can murder us many times, take our women off the street, they've been missing, and not even talk about it. Girls, a lot of black girls are missing. Where's the media? They can lie on policemen. When a policeman hadn't done wrong, they can lie and still pay the family and destroy somebody's life, even after it's been proven. And then there are policemen that can do wrong and get away with it. We have politicians. They pay off women that the politicians molest, seduce, or rape. They pay them off. They have places where they go and they have sex with children. You don't get to hear much about Pizzagate no more. We live in a world where we have assimilated so much, we don't look no different than the world, and they torture us. They besiege us everywhere we go. This is a curse. Look at what it says. It gave them to the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjugation in their hand. This has happened in other nations so much so that they have the only church they can have is underground. In some places today, somebody may be getting beheaded for the gospel. And where are we? We're headed in the same direction. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Oh, God, look at what's... Oh, is there anybody going to stand in the gap? Do we even care? What are we here for? Let me tell you what Jesus said about this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Didn't he say it? Didn't he say it? He said, if the salt has lost its savor, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. What do you think happened to Israel when they lost their savor? Assyria, 721, 722 BC, cast them out of the land and trodden them underfoot. Am I correct? In 596, 586, we're talking about Judah, cast out of Jerusalem, temple burnt. They were cast out, trodden under the foot of men, being oppressed. Antiochus Epiphanes, during the time of the Maccabees period, trodden under the foot of men, killing people right there in the sanctuary where they did the pig. You want to talk about, that's what it means. You're good for nothing, and you are to be cast out. It didn't say trodden under the foot of God. Lord Jesus knew his scriptures, and the Bible says, even after that, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel. Well, you know, I think, well, this is the way I see it. Well, you know, I got this psychology degree, and Sigmund Freud, who hated black people, who did not love God, that was fascinated with sex, he started this and this movement. But, you know, psychologists, they know more than the preachers and the people in the gospel. Well, we've Christianized it. Yeah, you Christianized Christmas too, didn't you? Christ is mass. Yeah, you Christianized all these other pagan days that you worship, but you got a problem with Pesach. You got a problem with Passover. You got a problem with the Feast of Tabernacles. But you can glorify state holidays because they pay you and let you off. So you're going to go ahead and do what you do. But God's looking. And he says, and you got this counsel. But this is what they voted on. This is what the law is. This is why I have a problem with politicians. You got these people that are supposed to be looking out for black people. And notice I've said earlier how I feel about black people. Most of the things that I see are not God-based. And you go and you look at the record of what is called the Congressional Black Caucus and just look and see how they voted for abortion, killing our babies. Just look. No, I ain't going to tell you how they voted. Just look. Look at how they're voting on this bill right now. What's that number on that bill, Precious Love? 22, H.R. 2282. Yes. Go look and see how they vote on that. Look and see how they vote on abortion. Let me say it again, H.R. 2282, go read it. Go look and see how they vote on the things and bringing the boys and girls in the bathroom at the same time. Look at how they vote on everything that you say that you love God, that you stand for. Just go look. And when you look and see, and when you look at their lives and look at what they uphold, ask yourself this, have we been turned over? Is it not a time that somebody can say, if you're going to do something for black people, give us God. Just give us God and his word. He can do the rest. He can do the rest. You're depending on somebody that they parade around in front of you, a movie star, a singer, something to tell you what to think and how to, you better get back to the word of God, because you'll be trodden under the foot of man. You'll end up being a useful idiot. Same thing for all the rest of the people in our country, in our nation. You know, I'm pro-black. I'm pro-America. I'm pro-Chinese. When I say pro this, I'm pro every nation that God has created that he wanted to save. I'm pro that. But before I get to pro that, it's pro what God has said. Therefore, if I'm pro-black, it's pro-black with what God said. If I'm pro-America, it's pro-America with what God has said. If I'm pro-Chinese, it's pro-Chinese with what God has said. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Why? Because you're diddling my mind. And you'll have me turn away from God. And by the time you get through diddling in my mind, God's going to have whore me. And somebody's going to have to stand in the gap for me. And I'm telling you now, a lot of people, they're not standing in the gap for their own family. So it says, he brought them low for their iniquity. They provoked with their counsel. He brought them low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. That's why he says his mercy is everlasting. But it's not everlasting for them that die. It's not everlasting for them that were slaughtered. It's not everlasting for Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. It's everlasting for those that see his judgment and fear, and don't do the same doggone thing. Come on, y'all. Now, it says that he remembered them for his covenant. He said he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. They cried out. There's some humility there. Then it says he remembered them for his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercy. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them out captive. He turned the hearts of the ones that had cast them out. And when he cast them out, let them be trodden under the foot of men. And we can't pray. People talking about, I hate Donald Trump. I hate 45. He not my president. Where's your God, fool? You hate Obama. You hate Clinton. You hate Bush. Where's your God? Nebuchadnezzar say he puts up who he wants to. And the Bible shows that he can turn anybody's mind. And he can harden anybody's mind as a king and put him to death. What we better do is learn to pray, God, your will be done. We vote. We do what we can. And your will be done. Blessings everlasting. And you know what I wish I could see? I wish in America that I could see people that love God go to both parties, or all four. If you want to count the Constitution Party, the Independent, and the Libertarian, the Democrat, and Republican, and go in and see what they're doing. Go in and see what they're doing. And then come back together and discuss it. And then determine what it is we need. Not let somebody else decide for us. But that's another issue. The Bible says, he says, save us, Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Lord, gather us right now from the heathen ways and their domination of the media, of the schools, of our culture, of the entertainment world, and everything therein is. Gather us together under your umbrella. Make us who you would have us to be. And then he says, gather us from the heathen to give thanks to your holy name. And to triumph in your praise. Blessed be Yahweh God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Are you blessed and highly favored? Really? Are you one that can really give him praise? Do you keep his judgments? Do you do righteously? Do you know that being blessed and highly favored demands a lot of responsibility and a lot of chastening? Because whoever the Lord loves and gives his favor to, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives. Father of mercy, thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us see what praising you really is. It's praising you for your righteousness, your faithfulness, and your judgment to avenge those that have been oppressed and to avenge yourself against those who you gave favor to, and they appropriated your favor for themselves and got too familiar with you that they felt they didn't have to obey anymore. Help us to walk in your favor in a righteous and a godly manner to the glory of your praise. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. We're now open for discussion, if there's any discussion that be had today. Any discussion, people? Let me see if there's any discussion on the Facebook. I see no comments on the Facebook, no comments in here. If there's no comments, there's no comments. You got any comments, precious love?
I was just thinking about Moses and how you brought that out. Well, the song is dead. About him and as much as he did and as close as he was to God. And it just goes to show you the best of us can fail to glorify him. Mm-hmm. And it's like you have to be very careful, very thoughtful, very intent. I got that from Dan. Very intention. And so it's like, that was like, wow, you know. But just to see, you know, the praise and this person saying, this is my righteousness. Me saying how good God is. Everything he has done is good. There's nothing bad in it. We were horrible and you were right. So just seeing that, just being able to praise him. From he started it, just praised him in the beginning and he ended praising him.
Bless his name. Dree, anything?
I like how you brought out that basically people who say that they are blessed and highly favored have to show forth God's righteousness, you know, because people think that when they say they're blessed and highly favored, it's because they've received some type of material blessing, and it's not just that. To be blessed and highly favored is to really be basking in the glory of God and showing forth the glory of God to those who we come in contact with. So I like how you expounded on that.
Thank you. Sister Curry, anything? Sister Merritt, anything? Sister Faye Merritt, there's a lot of them in here.
I enjoyed it.
All
along with it. Seeing God's mercy and seeing his displeasure as well.
Amen. Mr. Gary, does the Lord have anything that he wants to flow from your lips?
Maybe, man.
Are you going to hit me?
No. I mean, it didn't make me mad at the message. It made me mad at the truth of our society. Mm-hmm. It made me mad. And I think sometimes I should just not say anything, because students can talk a lot, but there's a time when we want the student to do something. So I don't have much to say.
Young people, any of you young people have anything to say?
What Gary just said was
powerful.
Yeah, because I mean, when you think about, we say what people call the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
How we talk to disciples to pray and we pray. And we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And it's like, how much have you done? Mm-hmm. Because that was the whole purpose of Israel. That's the whole purpose of us being saved.
For real.
That his name will be glorified throughout the whole earth. And that we're supposed to be working towards that. Mm-hmm. And so, what have you done that his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth? And that was why they got in trouble, because when you don't do it, what you're saying is righteousness shouldn't prevail in the earth. And it's okay the way that it is, because I'm not doing anything to help produce that righteousness in the earth. And so, it's something to reflect on. It's something to work toward. Any little bit you do is worth it. Because he is coming.
Yes.
And he is looking to find faithfulness.
Yes. Will he find it on the earth?
Will he find it?
Father God, thank you for just allowing us to meet again. Thank you for allowing us to go into your word. Thank you for teaching us and filling us with your spirit, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of judgment, spirit of knowledge of you and the fear of you. the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, that we may bring glory to your everlasting name. Look upon us, Father. You see where we have shortcomings. And Lord, we ask you in our shortcomings, let us not despair, but that we work on it to come higher. In the places where we are strong, let us not get arrogant and be the kind that can speak unadvisedly. Lord, I ask you to allow us to work in your kingdom, to set up treasure in heaven, where we don't have to worry about the moths going through and eating it up, or the thieves breaking through and stealing it, or the rust corrupting it. Help us to have the mindset that whatever it was your mission on earth was, it is to be continued in us at all costs. Bless us. Take us where you need us to be, so that when we come to meet you in glory, we can go with joy and not displeasure. Amen, amen, and amen.
Your name to parties, to the independent party, constitutional party, democratic party.
Libertarian. Imagine what it would be like, instead of people that say they love God fighting over parties, you go in and say, okay, this is what they stand for. This is what they stand for. Okay, I know. This is what they said, but that ain't what we're saying behind closed doors. You better believe when the government wanted to know what black people were doing, J. Edgar Hoover had people in all of the black meetings. Am I telling the truth, Rich? J. Edgar Hoover, when black people were having meetings trying to build themselves up, trying to get away from their oppression, they would have black, they would have the FBI to come in and infiltrate. They would pay prostitutes that they would have sex with the men so they could get caught doing it. They would bribe different people to lie. They would know what was going on whenever people were trying to free themselves from the oppression. Yeah, they were. The children of God ought to be as wise as the children of darkness. You don't have to go in and infiltrate to do wrong, but you go in and see. It's open. You don't have to lie. You go in there and see.